Amen. We thank God for being here today. We thank God for his many blessings, for the multitude of his tender mercies. Amen. We thank God for his goodness to us in spite of us. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. We're going to be asking you to join us in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, the first chapter. On this Christmas Eve morning, Matthew chapter 1 is where we're going. And we want to speak to you from a simple sentence or a simple question. Do you hear what I hear? Amen? Do you hear what I hear? Amen. From Matthew chapter 1. We thank God for being saved today on the Lord's side. So thankful to have accepted the invitation that was given to me at one point in my life, some years ago, to accept Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior. I'm so, by far, the best decision I've ever made in my life. Amen. And without him, I don't know where I really don't know where I'd be. Amen. Even in this time of struggle and in this time of, if you will, a valley experience, he keeps me floating, he keeps me going, keeps me, when I don't want to keep going, he keeps me going. Amen. So I'm just so thankful to have the Lord in my life. And I want to just bring something to your attention today from Matthew, the first chapter. And we do have to understand how important it is to pay attention to announcements when it's time for announcements to be heard. Because announcements are to do what? To inform you of what's to come. Amen? So announcements are very important, and a lot of times we hear them, but we don't hear them. Or we hear them, but we don't heart them. Amen? But before I get started, you know, I got to share with you a little funny, if you will. There was this little boy who was getting ready for Christmas, and he was starting real early, like the department stores do. Amen? Like before Thanksgiving. And this little boy had this particular item that he really, really wanted this year for Christmas. It was on the top of his Christmas list, and it was a watch. He had this watch in mind that he really wanted, and he wanted it really bad. It was a special watch. It was fairly expensive for a little boy, but he really wanted this watch. So every opportunity he had, he reminded his mom and dad about this watch that he wanted this year for Christmas. I mean, every opportunity he had, he reminded them about this watch. And every time they turned around, he was talking about this watch. From the minute he woke up in the morning, from the minute he got home from school, to the minute he went to bed, he was talking about this watch. He was doing as they do in business. He was leaving ads on the breakfast table about this particular watch. And everything was the watch, the watch, the watch. And finally, his mom and dad got a little tired of it. Amen? They couldn't take it anymore. They said, enough with the watch. We know that you want this watch. We don't want to hear any more about the watch. So now he feels like he's wearing out his welcome, so he better chill out a little bit about the watch. So he says, okay. And the next night at dinner, he told his parents, he said, you know, I'm starting to memorize scripture. And they said, you are? And he said, yeah. And they said, that's great. He said, you know, right now I'm memorizing Mark chapter 13, verse 37. And his dad said to him, great. What does that scripture say? He said, well, it's a quote from Jesus himself. And he said, and what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. Amen? Amen. So he found a way one more time to let his parents know about the watch. Amen. So I want to talk to you today from Do You Hear What I Hear? There was great announcements surrounding the coming of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus. There was the angel's announcement that a Savior has come. And that is such a great announcement. Amen? A Savior has come. When you look at it, another announcement that was made during this time was the King is born. Another announcement that we want to focus on today is the name Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? That was an announcement from Isaiah the prophet given in 734 BC. Now, when it comes to wonderful announcements, we've heard all these before. We've heard the story in Luke chapter 2. We know what the angel said to the shepherds. Amen. From a child, we've heard these stories. For instance, for unto you this day in the city of David, there has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen. And you're all like, yeah, I've heard that a million times. I've heard about the wise men saying, where is he who is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And you say to yourself, I've heard that many times. And I've heard that Isaiah passage about, you know, Emmanuel is God with us. And sometimes, like I said, we kind of hear it, and it goes in one ear and out the other. We don't really hear it, or we don't really heart it. We don't let it go in one ear and down into our heart and let it really settle there, because those announcements that we just mentioned are life-changing announcements. Amen? They're not just Christmas stories. They're not just, you know, fairy tales. They're not just, they are life-changing announcements if you hear them and let them settle in your heart. So we want to look at the announcement in Matthew chapter 1. And we really want you to, before you go on with the rest of your day, whether it's downstairs afterwards or getting together with your family and giving gifts and doing whatever you're going to do this Christmas Eve, we really want you to focus in on, really let it grip your heart about this announcement in Matthew chapter 1. Something that you've heard probably many times before, but when you really consider what it's saying, it can bless your heart. Amen? In Matthew chapter 1, starting at the 18th verse, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they consummated their relationship, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly, to divorce her secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.'" Look at somebody and say, "God with us." "And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, just like the angel told him to. The announcement was Emmanuel, God with us. Don't miss the announcement. God with us. Don't miss the announcement. God with us. What does that announcement really mean? Well, I'd like to share briefly with you four truths, four lessons from the Lord and from his word this Christmas Eve morning that will hopefully encourage your heart, that will change your life even if you let these things really settle in. Truth number one, lesson number one, Jesus is God. You say, I know that. Well, what do you mean? That's nothing. No, I know that. No. Jesus is God. A virgin shall be with child, and that child is going to be Emmanuel, which translated means God with us and God with us. Jesus is the child, and Jesus is God. Now, that to most of us is like, yeah, I've heard that a zillion times. What's the big deal? What's the point? Well, just about every cult in America, every cult in the world that claims to be Christian, you watch them when it comes to the fact of who is Jesus Christ. Many times they stumble in the area of who he is. Well, I want to let you know today, it's nothing to stumble over. Jesus is God. Amen? The Mormons will say, well, no, Jesus is a God. He's not the God. He's not equal with God the Father. Well, yes, he is. Look at somebody say, yes, he is. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. Jesus is God. When he came into the world, it was God with us. Jesus is God. Very important for us to understand that Jesus is God. And the scripture here tells us that Jesus is different from everyone else because Jesus was born of a virgin. Now, here's the story. Joseph and Mary are engaged, and it's an exciting time. As any of you who have ever been engaged or are getting engaged, you know what it's like when you're in that time where this is my fiancé and you're engaged and you're all excited about it and enjoy it because it gets harder as you go along. Amen, but it's a beautiful thing. Amen, so everyone, it's an exciting time. Joseph is excited, Mary is excited, and then Mary has to tell Joseph, I got some news to share with you. Remember, they're not married yet. She says, are you sitting down? And he says, yeah, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but I was sweeping the other day, and an angel appeared to me and said that I was going to be the mother of the Messiah, and that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon me, and that I'm going to have a baby. And I asked him, how can this be since I'm a virgin? But he said it was going to happen. And I said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And Joseph, the long and the short of it is, I'm pregnant. But I didn't do anything wrong, she says. It's of the Holy Spirit. Well, how many of us fellas, huh? She's like, no, really, I didn't have relations with anybody. I'm pregnant, but I don't know, and, okay. Right? So, Joseph, like many of us, was about to put an end to this thing. Amen, but he cared for her and appreciated her and didn't want to disgrace her, so he was going to secretly put an end to this thing. Amen? But then the angel came in a dream to Joseph and told him what to do. It's a tough one. Joseph is a righteous man, the scripture says, but he can't believe that story that Mary just told him, and he's heartsick that Mary, the one that he thought was the one for him, the one that he looks at as sweet and faithful and true, Mary, now she's pregnant, and he's wondering, he knows he's not the father. They haven't done anything like that. And so, you know, can you believe this story? He's thinking, okay, she's unfaithful to me before we even get started. We're engaged. And in that time period, you couldn't just break up the engagement like there's no big deal. So, you know, you couldn't just say, here, I'm giving you back the ring. It's not like that. It's you have to have a divorce even before you get married. And so he was going to divorce her secretly. He didn't want to publicly shame her, which he could have done, and said, hey, look, she's unfaithful. She's, you know, that kind of woman that would have relations outside of marriage. He didn't want to do that. And so he's getting ready to divorce her secretly. And then the angel comes to him and says, no, 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 it's not what you think. What she's telling you is true. That child in her womb is conceived of the Holy Spirit, and you're to take that boy. You're to be that boy's stepfather. You're to name that boy Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. Jesus is different than any other baby because Jesus was born of a virgin, because Jesus is God, the Son of God, yet the Son of Mary. He is the God-man, Jesus. Now, you might think that's an easy one to believe, but there was a survey done back in 2003 by an organization called the Scripps Howard Newswire Service, and they asked this question. They said, do you believe with certainty, with absolute certainty, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin? And 40% of Americans said no. Nearly 100% of liberal pastors and liberal theologians say, no, we don't believe that. And furthermore, what the liberal pastors and liberal theologians say is, what does it matter? I read, you know, they say, what does it matter if Jesus is God? That's not part of the plan of salvation, that you have to believe in the virgin birth. So why does it matter? It's not part of the plan of salvation? Really? Let me tell you why it matters that Jesus was born of a virgin. Number one, let's get right to the basics. It matters because the Bible says he was born of a virgin. You remember when your mother and your father, why? Because I told you so, that's why. Amen? Y'all ever said that to your kids? I don't have to give you a reason right now, because I told you so, that's why. Amen? Well, guess what? The Bible said it, that's why. Amen? The Bible says that he was born of a virgin. And if Jesus, listen to this, if he wasn't born of a virgin, then the Bible's not true. Amen? I mean, in the verses we read, it says over and over that he was born of a virgin. Mary was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, be not afraid, take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived is in her is of the Holy Spirit. And it says that the virgin shall be with child. And it says in verse 25, he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus. A virgin, a virgin, a virgin all the way through. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, then the Bible's not true. And if the Bible's not true, once you start saying one part isn't true, once you start saying, well, I don't believe that to be like that, I don't accept that to be true, that's not true, because that doesn't go past the bar of my mental capabilities. I can't see, I can't make sense of that, so it can't be like that. Who could be born of a virgin? And so you throw it out. But if you throw that out, then you got to start throwing out the resurrection. And then you got to start throwing out the miracles. And you got to start throwing out this and throwing out that. And pretty soon your Bible's about 3 pages thick. It's important because the Bible says that's how he was born. And let me say something else. If Jesus isn't born of a virgin, if Jesus is not the Son of God, then that means he's the son of Adam. Right? If he's not born, if he's not the Son of God, if he's not, then he's born of Adam, just like you and just like me. He's got two parents, two human parents. And he's not the Son of God. And he's not the God-man. He would just simply be a man. And if Jesus isn't born of a virgin, he is simply a man. And therefore, he can't be the Savior. He can't be the Redeemer. Because the Bible says in Psalm 49, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of his soul is costly, so he can't redeem. And if Jesus is not born of a virgin, not only is the Bible not true, not only is he just a man, not only can he not be the Redeemer and not be the Savior, but moreover, you and me can't be saved because there is no Savior. But look at somebody say, there is a Savior today. Remember when Jesus was dying on the cross? The people came up and mocked him and spit on him and said to him, come down from the cross and we'll believe in you. You remember that? And Jesus didn't do it, did he? You know why? Because if he had come down from the cross, they wouldn't have had anyone to believe in. There would be no Savior. The only man Jesus would never save is the man Christ Jesus. He wouldn't save himself, because if he had saved himself, he couldn't save you and he couldn't save me. Jesus is God. He is born of a virgin. The name Jesus literally means Yahweh saves, and the Yahweh of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament, who came to seek and to save which was lost. So that's the very first truth, the very first lesson. What does it mean, Emmanuel? It means that Jesus is God. It means that Jesus, secondly, is God with us. Now, we know that because we've heard it. We've sung it. Amen. We sing about it all the time. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, why God with us? Well, because we can't be with God. Jesus had to step down to be with us. Why? Because we couldn't step up to be with him. As you look at the prophecy from Isaiah, remember this. Prophecies given, so much of the time, they had a future meaning that was a greater meaning, but they also had a present tense, a present day meaning. And when Isaiah gave that prophecy, he gave it to King Ahaz, who was the king of Judah. And Judah was the two tribes in the southern kingdom. Remember, Israel is 12 tribes, but then they had a civil war and they split up. And 10 tribes went to the north, 2 tribes stayed to the south, Judah and Benjamin. And their capital city is in Jerusalem. And the capital city of the 10 tribes is Samaria. And they had all kinds of problems because they set up false gods. And you're in bad shape when you're the capital city, when your capital city is not Jerusalem, because the temple's in Jerusalem and God's presence is in Jerusalem. And so they were in trouble. They never should have split, but here they are. And you have this king, his name is Ahaz. He's king in the southern kingdom. And Israel, the 10 tribes have allied themselves with the Arameans, and that there is a word coming to Ahaz that the king, that Israel and the Arameans are coming to destroy him. And he's nervous, he's scared. And God sends Isaiah, the prophet, to Ahaz to let him know and to assure him that's not going to happen, that God is not going to let Israel and the Arameans come and destroy Judah. And he says, hey, Ahaz, ask for a sign. And Ahaz said, no, I'm not going to ask for a sign. I'm not going to test the Lord. And Isaiah said, well, yes, God told you to ask for a sign. So you're testing the Lord right now and testing his patience if you don't. So God is going to give you a sign because you're such a dummy right now and you're so thick-skulled that you won't even ask for what the Lord told you to ask for. Are we like that sometimes? So God's going to give you a sign, and this is the sign. There is in your kingdom a girl right now. She's a virgin. She's a virgin as I speak this, and she is going to get married, and she is going to have a son, and that son is going to be named Emmanuel. And before that kid is old enough to understand between good and evil, the alliance between Israel and Aram is going to be broken. You don't need to worry about that. God is going to be with you in this situation. He's going to take care of his people in Judah. That was the message, and sure enough, that happened. Within a year or so, this girl and his kingdom, she was a virgin at the time, and now all of a sudden she got married, and she conceived, and she gave birth to a son, and she named that kid Emmanuel. And that was the sign that God gave, and God broke the alliance between Israel and the Arameans. You see, it doesn't make any sense for Isaiah to give a prophecy to Ahaz, who is sweating bullets at this time because he's thinking his kingdom is going to be destroyed, for God to give a prophecy that's going to find fulfillment 730 years later. God has something for you that's really going to make you feel good, Ahaz. 730 years from now, the Savior's going to come. Imagine if he told him that. Amen? Oh, great. So 730 years from now, everything will be all right. Amen? That doesn't help me today. Right now, I got people coming for me, and that doesn't help me today. So the prophecy helped him right then, but it had greater fulfillment all that time later. And Jesus wasn't named Emmanuel. He was named Jesus, but he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. We can't be with God because of sin. So God came down to us. And Jesus laid aside his royal robes and he took off his crown and he stepped down, down, and down and he became a man. And the infinite God encompassed himself in a virgin's womb and he was born into this world. And as you see Jesus in your mind's eye lying in the manger, wrapped in those swaddling clothes, as that depicts, it's God with us, God in a manger. Don't fear, for God is with us. Amen? That's such an awesome truth because do you ever get afraid sometimes? Do you ever get lonely sometimes? Do you ever question why things are happening in your life sometimes? I don't know about you, but I get afraid sometimes. I worry sometimes. My mind goes, it gets fearful sometimes. It starts to doubt sometimes. So it's important for me and for you to remember that God is with us. God is with you and God is with me. It's not just God with us. It's God with me. Make it personal in your life. God is with me. Amen? When it gets really dark and you can't remember things like you used to, just remember the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet, still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil because He is with me. Amen? God is with me. Jesus is God. Jesus is God with us. Why God with us? Hey, Lord, why would you come down? The infinite God became an infant. Why would you do that? Why would you be Emmanuel, God with us? Why would you want to be with us? And the Lord says, simply because I love you. I want to be with you because I love you and because I'm for you. Amen. If you don't hear nothing else today, understand that Jesus loves you and that he's for you. Amen. So it's not just God with us, it's also God for us, because there would be no God with us if God weren't for us. Amen. And that's a wonderful, mind-blowing truth, that God would be for me, that God would care enough about me, that I would matter to God so much that Jesus would die for me. Well, we get the feeling that, well, Jesus died for everybody. He did. But personally, he died for you. Galatians 2 and 20, where Paul says that the Lord loved me and delivered himself up for me, not just for everybody, but for me. Listen, we need to make the cross, the gospel, the message of Jesus, you need to make it personal, because the Lord made it personal. He died for you. He didn't die for a faceless humanity. He died for you. Look at somebody and say, he died for you. And then give him a nudge and tell him, wake up, wake up. He's almost through. Wake up. He died for you. He is for you. He wants to be with you. Why? Because he's for you, because he cares about you. It matters to him. It matters to him concerning you. God sees you. He knows everything going on in your life right now. He knows the fight that you had last night as you were putting Christmas presents together. He knows the difficulties that you're facing on your job. He knows everything that's going on in your life right now. You say, well, he's not doing anything for me right now. I wonder if he knows. He's not doing anything for me right now. I wonder if he cares. I want to let you know today that not only does he know, but he sees and he cares. God is for you, not only with you, but he's for you. And in his time, he will do just what needs to be done. I love what David said in Psalm 56 as he went through so much trouble. He had so many trials, so many enemies. Here he is, a man after God's own heart, and he longs to do God's will. And he has so many people coming against him, and he's hiding in a cave. People are trying to kill him. Saul, the king, hates him and has turned so many people in the nation against him. And David says in Psalm 56 and 9, he says, this I know, that God is for me. This I know, that God is for me. There might be a whole nation of people that don't like me right now, but God is for me. There might be all kinds of people coming after me right now, but God is for me. I have all kinds of trouble on my doorstep, but God, this I know. That's how he started the sentence. This I know. There's a lot of things I don't know, but this I know. God is for me. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things I can't figure out, but this I know. I know that 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 God is for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, this I know, that God is for me. He says, and then Romans comes around in chapter 8 and says, if God be for you, who can be against you? And I don't know, for some reason that keeps coming up in all of my messages, and I don't even know why, but if God be for you, who can be against you? Jesus is God. Remember that. Jesus is not only God, but Jesus is God with us, and Jesus is God for us. And lastly, Jesus wants to be God in us. He wants to be God in us. He wants to come and live inside your life. What is Christianity? It's not you gritting your teeth and trying harder to be like Jesus. It's you yielding your life and letting Jesus come inside and live his life through you. Amen. John chapter 1 says that Jesus was in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. That's life's greatest tragedy. He came to his own, to the Jews, and those who were his own did not receive him. But then it says, but as many as received him, as many as opened their heart to him and received him as Lord and Savior, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Have you opened your heart to him? Have you received him? You know, at the end of the sermons, at the end of the church services, when we give the invitation, that's what it is. The work has already been done. Jesus has already completed the task. It's all about us receiving him into our lives. Amen. You can leave this place today saying, you know, I learned about Emmanuel, God with us, but more importantly, I'm leaving this place, God in me. I'm leaving this place with God in me. And for sure, he's with me because now he lives inside of me. That's what God wants to do. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The Lord wants to move into your heart. He wants to be inside of you. And Jesus said in chapter 14 that when he went away, that another was going to come, another just like him, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus was going to be with you and in you. And the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside every person who says yes to Jesus, every person who yields his heart to Jesus, every person who believes on his word and says, Jesus, I believe you died for me. Jesus, I believe you love me. Jesus, I believe that you came for me, and I surrender all to you. You know, that's pretty much what Mary did when the announcement came to her. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Well, why are you giving me that kind of greeting? He said, you've been chosen of God, and you're going to bear a son. How can this be, since I'm a virgin? How can I bear a son? The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you, and the offspring in your womb is holy. And she said this, although she didn't understand it, she said this, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And it was done to her according to the word of the angel Gabriel. Sometimes it's not about understanding. Sometimes it's not about making sense of it. Sometimes it's just simply, yes, Lord. Amen. You know how you enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? When the God of the universe comes to live inside of your heart, and he's God with you because he's God in you. You say, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. Lord, I believe that you really did die. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe that you knock at my heart's door and you want me to open that door. Lord, I believe that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. I believe you, Lord, and I surrender my life to you, and I open that door. Be God in me. Live your life through me, that my life would be a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Literally, the Holy of Holies for the Holy One to live in. That can happen to you today on this Christmas Eve morning. All you have to say is, Jesus, here I am. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I remember the day when I got saved. At that point, I was at my wit's end, and I said, Jesus, would you save me? I didn't even understand what I was getting into, but I just know I needed him. I heard the gospel preached, and I said, I need that. And I said, Jesus, would you save me? And he did. He did, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and I was lost. And if you don't know for certain that Jesus lives inside today, this could be your day. And for you who say, well, I know Jesus lives inside, but I've been struggling. It's been a struggle for me lately. I wonder sometimes if he's for me because of all the difficulties in my life. I wonder sometimes. I get nervous. I wonder sometimes if maybe he left me. I wonder if God is really with me. Listen, the same truth, if you believe his word, he said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He said, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And when you do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't leave you. I'll be right by your side. And you don't have to fear, because I'm with you. All you have to do is trust me. I need you to let go of that steering wheel in your life. I need you to get away from the driver's seat. And I need you to let the Lord take control. And if you do that, the Prince of Peace will have his rightful place as king inside of you. And there will be peace, and there will be transformation, and people will know that God is with you. You know, when Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word, immediately she was pregnant with the Holy Spirit. And as time went by, she knew. She could feel the Lord inside of her. People could tell that she was with child. And everywhere she went, he went with her, because the Lord was growing inside of her. It's a picture of the Christian life. He must increase, John says, and I must decrease. More of Jesus and less of me. Look at somebody, say, more of Jesus and less of me. And let the world see that he lives inside, and let him shine through me like the sun. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is God for us. And with God on your side, who can be against you? Let us stand. On this Christmas Eve morning, let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is God. Amen. Amen. I don't know. Maybe there's someone in here today that's saying to themselves, I've heard it a lot, I've heard it a million times, but today I believe that the Bible is true. I believe that the Bible means what it said, and Jesus is God, and he came to save me because I'm lost. I'm lost in my direction in life. I'm lost in my way. I have people around me that love me. I have people around me that care for me, but in my mind, in my heart, I'm lost. I need a GPS. I need to find the right direction. I need to go in the right direction in my life. I've gotten a little off course. If that's you today, there's not a better present in the world you could receive than salvation. And it's a gift. It's a gift for you. It's got your name on it. It's personal. You know how they say it's not personal, it's just business? Well, this is personal. Amen? As much as I'd love to see everybody saved, I can't do it for you. Your mother can't do it for you. Your sister can't do it for you. Your grandmother can't do it for you. Your father can't do it for you. Your friend can't do it for you. You have to open that door yourself. Only you can open that door and let him in. And get to the point in your life where you don't just know of him, but he lives inside of you. And what a beautiful thing it is to have Jesus live inside of you. Amen. Is there one today? Is there one? As we bow our heads, Lord, we thank you for this Christmas Eve day. And Lord, even as we work around all the hustle and the bustle and the things that come with the way Christmas is now, Lord, help us to not lose focus of the fact that you died for us. And this celebration really should be about you, because you gave your life so that we could have it right now and also eternally. You've been so good to us, Lord. So many of us have been struggling, even in the past year. We've had questions in our minds, questions in our hearts. We've had trouble at home, trouble on the job. We're concerned about loved ones. We wonder if we're going in the right direction. But even with all that, Lord, this we know, that you are for us. You are with us. You love us, and you won't leave us or forsake us. You walk through the valley with us. You walk through the trouble with us, Lord. You give us peace, Lord, when it doesn't make sense to have peace. You give us joy that we can't explain. Lord, we thank you today. Thank you, Jesus, for being a constant in our lives. For being that steady force, that rock in our lives. That one that will not let go of our hand. Lord, you're so long-suffering with us. You love us so much. You're so patient with us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, today, we want to leave here with the assurity that you are God and God alone. And you are for us, you are with us, you are in us. We will trust you with all our heart. We will lean not to our own understanding. We will acknowledge you in all our ways. And you said, Lord, in your word, that if we did that, you would direct our path. Lord, we seek your direction today. Lead us in the way we should go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Before you be seated, I want to call Russ. Can you come up to the front, please? I want you to take notice of this fine haircut that he has today. Huh? He's trying to be like me with his hair. Now I got to get him some gel and see if we can slick that back a little bit. Amen. Looking not a day over 40 today, but the congregation would like to have a presentation for you.
Digit right there.
40?
Three more days, 84.
God bless him. 84.
84. Hallelujah.
84.
Hallelujah.
You gonna lead us out?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Russ. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Amen. And happy birthday to all of our December birthdays. Amen. It's Christmas Eve. Give somebody a hug and tell them you love them, and there ain't nothing they can do about it. Don't forget there's refreshments downstairs. And those of you that were on the naughty list, Sister Denise needs to meet with you after church. I'm just kidding about the... Al, Brian Kellogg, Lynette... Madison, and Camille. If you could just meet with Sister Denise right quick. And we have light refreshments downstairs. Yep, you're on the nod.